It's time to swing hard with Coach Denny Barrett. Denny has recruited and coached some of the top athletes from around the world. During that time, Denny created the nationally renowned travel baseball program called Batters, which prepares young players to succeed at the high school and professional levels. In this podcast, Denny talks to coaches, comedians, actors, scouts, and Hollywood elites about sports, relationships, and life. Now here's Denny Barrett.
I'm just going to say your dad looks 15 years younger than you on Zoom. I'm just going to say it, man, if you don't mind.
Hey, here's the extra 10. That was perfect.
Thanks.
God dang it. So,
boy, my boy. What are you kidding?
I love your boy. I'll tell you what. We've got a relationship. I've known, but I will tell you, man, Tony and I go back. Tony doesn't know this. We go back 30 years ago because Tony beat our in the entertainment league on the Danzas Dukes used to beat our freaking team. He used to piss us off every time on the mound. So it started there, the relationship. And
wasn't that a great time?
Tony, to see you out. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Tell people about that experience. You know, if you go back even before Danzas Dukes, we were La Monica's New York Pizza. At that time, there were actually 48 teams in the league. And it was just incredible. It was, and we take out full page ads in the trades if you won, and congratulate the runner up. So you twist it a little bit, you know.
You know, we're with episode one. I don't know whatever it is, Rob. What 150? I don't know what it is. Where are we at?
Yeah, 147.
We got producer Rob on. We're with the great Tony Danza, and his son Mark I. Danza. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to jump right into the Danza Dukes because, you know, when you do podcasts, and Tony, there's a ton of success. I'm looking up your Google. I'm not smart to read all this stuff. There's so much there. But my biggest experience with Tony Danza, not Taxi, not Who's a Boss, is being on deck and seeing Tony on the mound in that entertainment league and going, damn, man, I don't want to – first of all, I don't want to hit one back at him because of – The guy's major out there. He's a major star. And I thought, I told everybody, Tony, by the way, 30 years ago, hey, I know we're good friends. And I'm thinking, really? Oh, yeah, we play together. We're good friends. And that's just bull out of my head. I apologize on that. But
no, but you know, we were. I'm telling you, that particular time when we were all doing that, competing against each other and doing it every Saturday like clockwork.
Yes.
And, you know, we played 5 months or something like
yes.
that? You know,
yes.
So it was just such a big part of life at that time, you know.
God, Tony, thank you for saying that.
My softball team was they were all over my house every day. And I mean, it was like, we played basketball on top of that. Oh, to be young.
But it wasn't, when we say play softball, it was a very competitive 5 months, was it not?
Yes, it was a fast pitch. We used to play, at one point, we even played 60-foot bases. We played 70-foot bases, but, you know, it was like a really fast game. And, you know, you had a lot of the actors were ex-ball players.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, everybody from Mitch Kupchak to, what was the pitcher? It was like he threw no hitters and he played for us. I can't remember. I mean,
I know Steve Bono played for you.
Yeah, Bono played for us, the quarterback. I mean,
our team was
you cut Bono.
I did cut Bono. Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, he didn't slide or something.
I was just going to say, now on screen, when you see Tony Danza, you see a great actor from way back in Taxi, Who's a Boss, and I can go all the accolades. The podcast is not long enough to give every accolade out there, and I know your humility, but I will tell you that your humbleness, and I will tell you that to watch you, you were the most competitive son of a gun that the real Tony Danza came out, because I remember we were Johnson Burnett. That's what it was. I couldn't remember the name. But now to watch a guy, the pressure you put on your shortstop when he made an error, or to get on your second baseman when he made an error, to turn around and give that, there was no acting going on out there, man. You didn't just go out there to play. You wanted to win every game. Am I correct, Tony?
And by the way, some of that was way too much, you know. But I did. If you made an error, if I made a pitch and we got a ground ball and then we didn't make the out, I was like, hey, yo, what's up?
Talk to me about you two then. Good segue. Mark, you played. Did you guys get a chance? Well, let's start with you, Tony. You grew up, you wrestled in high school. Talk about your upbringing.
I grew up in the inner city. We played stickball, punch ball, you know, we hit be a punch. Everything was punch. Basically, what we did in the city was fight, you know. It was like a whole other game we played, you know. You want to play stickball? No, let's fight. And, you know, then we'd go to another neighborhood and we'd, you know. But just let me tell you about he and I.
Thank you.
He was born when I was 19.
Wow.
Right. And we have been together. We grew up together. And he's been with me. He's on the set of Taxi. He does two episodes of Taxi. He's terrific in it too, by the way. I, in my short-sightedness or maybe long-sightedness, depending on your point of view, I didn't encourage him becoming an actor when he was a kid, even though he did such a great job in Taxi. But we sort of grew up together. He was with me he was better than a puppy dog, tell you the truth. You know, everybody saw him. He was so cute. He was so smart. He was so great. All the way to Frank Sinatra. We have a moment where I introduced him to Frank Sinatra, and we have this great picture of Frank Sinatra hugging him. So he was a great, for me, he was not only my son, he was my, like, I don't know, yes. like a pet, you know, yes. in a way. And he made me a better, guy because I was worried about how it would look to him, as all fathers, I think, worry. And it's an amazing relationship because of how, you know, how young I was and how long we've been sort of relying on each other.
Yeah. I see you guys, Tony. Thanks for sharing that, because I've had a chance to know Mark for, last 10 years, I think, around there, 10, 11 years.
Wow, yeah.
And Mark, to see you be a son right now, because to watch him work with these kids at the Gorilla Camp and at Sherman Oaks Little League, and you are the father, not just to your own boys, who I get to have the luxury of coaching, to all kids, 500, thousands of kids. They all know who Coach Mark is. They all know Coach Mark. And it looks to me like you're taking a lot after your father on the way he just cared for you. You're not big leaguing him, Mark, Tony, you just care for these guys by your actions, not by your, hey, move your ass, or hey, do this, hey, do that, man. There's a love there that I learn every time, this old son of a gun learn every time I get out there. How was your relationship with Tony, Mark, growing up, man? What do you remember there?
Oh, it was good. I think, you know, I moved around a lot, I was with my mom, and then I would come in the summer and breaks and live with my father. And then eventually in high school, I ended up moving in with him. And it's always been a great relationship. And, you know, I'm very lucky with Sherman Oaks Little League and to be able to do that and to still be able to do Gorilla Camp and all that. That's a big deal.
Hey, Dan, by the way, you know, when I go to the camp, I work with kids in New York City.
Yeah, I know that.
The thing that I was with the police athletic league there for 8 years.
Right.
And the thing about the PAL is, because of the government contracts, you can't mix kids together. You can't have young kids and older kids, you know, they don't want to, you know, God forbid. In his camp, it's every age. It's unbelievable how they're all together. And somehow this chaos seems to work. And like you said, I loved him. You know, I used to always say about him that he's the new and improved Tony Danza.
Yeah.
See, because he's actually got better people skills. And with the kids, there's a tough love, I think, that you're talking about, where he gives everybody a nickname and you know, they all know, you know, it's really something to behold. And you know what's interesting for me is to watch his son, my grandson Nick.
Yes.
At the camp. It's like, you know, it runs in the family. Let's put it that way.
You know, there's that Italian love, man. I can see it. There's that bond of Italian love that it's wonderful to see it. And again, Tony, we could talk about all the accolades of Tony Danza. And I think the best accolade out there is the guy sitting to your right, and Mark, the guy that you that's on my Notre Dame High School baseball team, and the other one that's on our batter's team. We're going to be in Cooperstown this summer, Mark and I coaching together in the dugout, living in the barracks with about 14 knucklehead 12-year-olds, man. And God, I'll tell you what, I haven't had a drink in 12 years, but maybe this summer will start again. Hey, tell me, Tony, you're and thanks for coming on, man. I mean, Mark and I talked a long time ago, and Mark said right away, my father, I'll get him. I'll make this happen. He wants to do it. He'll do it. He's busy. So I really appreciate the time out here to do
my
this.
On
this
it really is.
Podcast. Some of your mentors, Tony, who were some of your mentors growing up, man, when you were younger?
Well, my old man, mostly. Right. You know, my father, very, very, you know, he was garbage man for the city of New York, and we lived in East New York in Brooklyn, and he actually worked on the block in the neighborhood I lived on, but actually on the block I went to school on and lived on. Wow. And so I used to do a joke that I was always so proud of him because he dropped me off at school with the truck. But
that's great.
Yeah, but so he was a really serious presence in my life, you know, and he, you know, that's, I think, you know, I had a couple of great teachers. I had a wonderful teacher in the 11th grade, a guy named Charlie Messenger.
Wow.
Who introduced me to arts and you know, acting and so on. But I think my father mostly was the guy that I would point to.
Tony, you being a dude, when I say that, you're a man's man. You're, you know, you portray always when I was younger, and I can see the softness. I can see the love on Zoom. But and again, I'm nervous as hell right now. I'm a cocky son of a bitch, and Mark knows me. I arrogant, but then I get on here and go, holy now what do I do? Okay, we got him on. Now I'm gonna sit here and just like Chris Farley in SNL, just ask the most dumbest questions and not know what the hell I'm gonna do right now. But when you how did you get into acting? Because you're a boxer, you're a fighter, you're this, and actors don't have the great reputation. And if you're an actor, you're the artsy guy. But how did the acting come along, bro?
I was, you know, I did a little in high school, and I was drawn to it. But I really wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher. I went to school for that, and when I got out of college, I didn't feel I was ready to teach anybody anything. I felt I was too young. And so I went odd jobbing and so on and so forth. And I brought up earlier that we did a lot of street fighting when I was young. And my friends, because I was pretty good at it, and my friends entered me in the Golden Gloves, because in those days, all you had to do was get the entry blank out of the Daily News, the paper, fill it out and send it in. I got a notice for my physical. I thought I got drafted for a second, but it was for the Golden Gloves. So I did it. And I went to the semifinals my first year. I knocked out a bunch of guys. Then I got knocked out, by the way. But I went back the next year, and I was hooked on boxing. I turned pro. I had 15 fights. I won 12 of them, and I should have won them all. And then one day, lucky me, a guy walked in the gym and said, Gleason's gym on 30th and 8th Avenue in New York City, and said, ask somebody, who's that? And she said, that's Tony Danza. And he came up to me and said, do you ever think about being on TV? And I said, always, you know, every day, you know. I remember at that time, if you were on TV, it was a huge thing to do, you know, to be. And so I read in a crazy, you know, bunch of crazy circumstances, I end up in Jim Brooks's office, the guy who's the producer and writer of, creator of Taxi and all those other, you know, from, you know, Terms of Endearment, As Good as It Gets. I mean, he's, you know, Jim Brooks, The Simpsons. I mean,
yeah.
I end up in his office reading with Mandy Patinkin for a part in a play, in a show called Taxi. It was written for an Irish heavyweight named Phil Ryan. And I walked in and they made it an Italian middleweight. And the rest is history. That's how I ended up in the show. I'll be honest with you, I was so naive. When he was walking me out, Brooks said to me, I loved your work. And I had no idea what the heck he was talking about. What work did I do? So it was crazy. And somehow I ended up in, lucky for me, I ended up not only in a show that was monumental, but with a cast that wasn't resentful of a boxer who had never acted before. And I'm going to throw him in the show. You know what I mean? I'd like to know how I might react now if somebody did it to me. But they welcomed me, and I was better for it.
Well, shit, what are they going to say? A boxer, they better keep their mouth shut. Because, you know, you could just talk with your right hook. I'm not sure.
You know what I mean, though, Danny. Yeah. And by the way, there is no right hook for an Orthodox fighter, just so you know.
Gotcha.
Tony, I had a quick question for you. As an actor, you know, I know you did a lot. This is Rob, the producer. I know you got a lot of parts, but there were probably a lot of parts you didn't get, too. How did the failure thing in acting affect you as a competitive person? And we'll sort of relate that to baseball. We sort of bring that together because there's a lot of failure in baseball as well. How did that affect you?
Well, it's like, you know, it's interesting that you make the comparison because, you know, how many times do you hear that's baseball, you know, the guys, you know, one guy, one year he's great, the next year he's not, well, that's baseball, you know, but it's much like that. It's the nature of the business. It's part and parcel that you have to, you know, you have to deal with it. And at times it's not only frustrating, but it's painful. And you do know, as we say, that's baseball. That's showbiz. So it's, I don't know. I mean, look, I've been very fortunate, and when I do have the misfortunes, and I've had them, I try to think of how fortunate I am. I have this. I have his sons. I have my daughters. And by the way, I was a garbage man's son from Brooklyn who was boxing, and here I am. So it's an American story.
It's a great story. It really is.
Yeah. This great game, Tony, and we had Mark on, I don't know, 6 months ago. We had Mark and Mo and those guys, and what baseball's done for me is just it's built some phenomenal relationships that I didn't even know was going to occur. You know, I've always wanted to be in the major leagues. I wanted to be a great shortstop for the Dodgers 1 year. I wanted to be the head coach at the major league level. What I realize is what's happened in this, and I see it with you, is the relationships that I've had to build at 59 years old. I'm an old man. And the relationships of these young guys.
You're a kid.
I will tell you, seeing yesterday at the Loyola game, and for the first time, I got, again, this arrogance that comes out, this chest out that I see you, and right away, I turn into a 9-year-old going, there he is. And I'm like, come on, Danny, shake yourself. But to have you out there, you wanted to be a teacher. Yeah. And I know you wrote a book that you wanted to apologize or something. I talk about that.
Well, I took off a year. Yeah. I'm really interested in kids. I think that, you know, I had the greatest childhood. I had the American child. I grew up in the 50s and 60s in East New York and Brooklyn, like the toughest neighborhood in the world. But nobody was shooting each other. You know, you got to fight every day, but you lived. And it was great. It was really great. And people were poor, but not desperate. And it was just a wonderful, you know, school was wonderful. And I hated it, but you know what I mean? I had these wonderful, great parents that loved me. And I think that some of these kids today are getting, you know, cheated out of any, they're not having anything like that. And so, in fact, I run a program in New York City called the Stars of Tomorrow program. It's a teen acting program, because when you teach a kid how to act, you teach a kid how to act. That's our slogan. And it's a preteen acting high school kids. And we've been doing it for a long year, but forgot where I was going. Oh, so I wanted to be a teacher. So I was really interested in what's going on in public education, because the conventional wisdom is that there's not much going on good. And then just, you know, this thing about caring about kids. So I took off a year from work and got a job in inner city Philadelphia, in a school called Northeast High. Any Vikings in the house? Oh, anyway, 4,500 kids. I lived in the neighborhood. And I was like a, you know, a teacher, and I was Mr. D, and I taught 10th grade English, ironically, but it was the most amazing thing. And then when I finished that year, and I want you to know something, it gave me such a regard for teachers and what they go through. I mean, think about you're responsible for 150 teenagers.
Yeah.
150 of them. And you know, you have five classes, you got 30 kids in each class, and you have to doc, you have, it's, and it's challenging, not only physically, but emotionally. I mean, I don't think I cried so much in my, I just cried. I just felt like this tremendous responsibility I had to them, and I was letting them down. And, you know, it was like, oh, don't worry, you had 10th grade with Tony Danza, we'll give you another shot. No, this is it. You know, this is it.
Yeah.
So I took off, and then I wrote this book. It's called I'd Like to Apologize to Every Teacher I Ever Had My Year at Northeast High, as a rookie teacher in Northeast High. And it's the year I had, and it was the greatest experience, because not only did it open my eyes to what it takes to be a teacher, and I had done it in my youth, but I saw people sacrificing things you know, for the kids, and I saw thousands of miracles every day. I mean, it was mind blowing, and with no resources. I mean, they laid off the school nurse sometimes then.
Right.
Yeah, you could get sick on Monday and Tuesday, but not Thursday. You know what I mean? What are you kidding? this is how it is. You know, forget about arts. You know, they don't even want to think about that.
Yeah.
And that's why our program in the city is so popular. You know, we had 80 kids in the program last semester. Wow. And you know, it's really because they're starved for it. You know, we have to realize that we still have a responsibility, both publicly and privately, in the nurturing of our children. See, we used to worry about what they watched. There was a family hour on TV. We couldn't, you know, you had to be a certain. Now they're customers, just like everybody else. They can do whatever they want. And it worries me. And so you have to give them something else to be interested in. Something else to be interested in. And you wouldn't believe what happens. So a tough kid from Brooklyn comes to the city. I make them travel to come to the city, because otherwise they stay in that 6-block radius their whole lives. So they have to navigate the city. Now they come to the city, they walk in, and you know, they're defensive, they're nervous, they're anxious, they don't want to be there. But it was free. Let me check it out. It's acting. You see, the acting gets them too, you know, this acting. So now they walk in, they don't want to do anything. You give them like a week, two classes. You say to them, how's it going? And by the way, they can find anything to turn them off. Like if they're from Brooklyn and they see kids from Queens, that's enough. They, you know, they're from another borough. This is how crazy it is. But in a matter of days, and this is no kidding, they come around and you'll say to them, you know, how's it going? And the kid says, I have to support my ensemble. You know what I mean? Wow. It's like, yeah. And it becomes a team, you know, and here we go back to baseball again. And it becomes a team. And it's amazing what the metamorphosis that you see. I got to listen to this. At SUNY Purchase, State University of New York and Purchase College upstate New York, we have a very good relationship with them, getting kids into their program, their acting conservatory. They have 16 kids graduating. Three of them are from our program.
Wow! Wow!
So it's really, really successful, and it's wonderful. And I think we're fooling ourselves if we think these kids one day, don't worry, let them do what they want, and then one day they'll go, oh, it's time to be well adjusted.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen. So I
got it.
That's what I'm into.
I freaking love it. I love hearing this, man, because I got to imagine there may be times you got to call Mark and say, Mark, I got some stuff. Because Mark, I could see you guys working together when you're talking about kids, correct on that?
Absolutely. And that's why he amazes me what he is able to do there. I'm not kidding you. I'm guilty of every time I go on TV, I bring up the guerrilla camp because you know, it's just magnificent. I read it. I marvel at it. I really do. And it's because I work with kids. I know what it takes, you know, and he's, you know,
it's not so much, the talent, and I'm the same way. I'll go out to practice every day. I'll see a Nick out there. I'll see a kid standing by himself, shagging fly balls. And it's not so much teaching them it's just allowing them to have a voice. I think these kids have a voice. And sometimes they don't get a chance to use that voice at home. Mm-hmm. And all they want is time spent with them. And their parents may be working here, and they maybe are divorced, or they maybe whatever's going on at home. I get it, but it's not about stride, stance, hit. Our podcast is called Swing Hard in Case You Hit It. We use the baseball analogy, but the truth is, hey man, if it's not baseball, whatever you do, go for it. Just go.
I like that. Swing hard, coach, in case you hit it. That's
yeah. And we got coaches up there teaching. No, you tell a kid, go there, be loose. But as he gets in the batter's box, put your hands up here, elbow up, stride. Look, pay attention. And they're like, the kid's in there, and he's got his parents in the stands. He's got his girlfriend Bob in the stands. Maybe he's not playing. There's so much other stuff outside the game, outside of this stuff. And all what I'm hearing you, Tony Danza, of all people, not talking at all about this phenomenal career you've had in the acting side, but I love the way you've given this stuff back to these kids today, man. You just keep giving it back and you recognize it.
Well, you know, there's a part of me that feels there's got to be some reason this happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really? It's, you know, because I wasn't pointed in the right direction, probably, is how I'd say it. You know, I mean, I just wasn't, I don't know. I hadn't figured out that in order to be interesting, you have to be interested. You know, it just came to me last week. I'm much better than
that. Yesterday, you were on The Talk? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I was on The Talk yesterday, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Now, it's a little bit bigger being on Denny Barrett's podcast, but I
absolutely. Absolutely. What are you kidding me? This is up there with The View.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But now, Tony, today now, you get a chance to see your grandkids now and your sons and so forth. But, Mark, what was the biggest thing you learned from Dad? One of the things we get into, and we'll shorten this thing up pretty soon, but is I want kids to just – I love that. Stay interested, whether it's baseball, whether it's not. And you got a son, Mark, named Nick on our baseball team. And there may not be a better, I'm going to say it, there's not a better, well put together, confident, light, great guy that we have on our program than your son. No question about it.
I appreciate that.
Now he's running, you know, he's in there, he's side armor, low reliever that comes from down under. But we did find out now the guy is our pitch runner, and the guy doubles twice or doubles once in the alumni game. He just keeps showing up and saying, I'm ready to go. He got that from that's some intrinsic motivation he got from you, Mark.
Hey, Dan, may I just, I don't mean to interrupt.
Please, it's your show, not mine.
The thing that Nick has somehow shown us is his patience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he don't want to just be a pitch runner. He wants to be in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and yet, as you say, there's not a better kid. He's a team player. He's out there shaking hands. He's out there getting the bat. He's, you know, and that's.
Oh, I get it. We're not. Who's the. We've had negative influences, coaches, and I'm Nick's coach, and I could be that influence. But coaches aren't always right. Coaches, I'm looking at one. We're not always right. I'm going to say that right now. We go out there with our opinions and our what we have out there. And let's just say a kid like Nick, let's say he's getting screwed. Let's say the guy's getting screwed. He could be feeling that, but he doesn't show any of that right there. He shows up every day on time, and he gets in the game. And reason why he went to the pitch running role is because the guy's in the game. I'm trying to tell these kids, man, don't be sitting in the corner of the dugout moping and crossing your arms and going, you know what, I'm getting – maybe you are. But the way it's happening, man, Mark, you've done a hell of a job with Nick and Tony all the way down, man. To me,
that's the thing that Nick is really, you know, it's amazing because I know I'd be frustrated. You know, I might be the kid at the end of the thing, head down. I don't know, but he's never. Every time I come to the games, he's like this kid. He's greeting people. He's, you know, he's like coaching almost. You know, it's terrific, and that's number one.
Yeah, I think It's been a journey going through Notre Dame baseball. Obviously, if you know, to be honest with you, if he'd have gone to Loyola, Crespi, some of these other schools, he probably would have never left the field. But that's just the way it went, you know. And he knows what kind of team he's on, and he knows what kind of program Notre Dame is. So, you know, he's appreciative.
But I just cannot stress enough that handling it the way he does, as you say,
right. He's been very proud of how he's dealt with things. And, you know, even last night came home and said, you know, I'm okay being a pinch runner. If that's what they want me to do, I'll be the best pinch runner. I should have took second, he said, on that ball. I read, you know, I mean, he's
so athletic. He's that dive back, Denny, that dive back was unbelievable.
He's a top guy. And Robert, going to you, your kids, both of them got cut from high school baseball, right, Rob?
Yeah, one did, the oldest, Nathan. Yeah.
Yeah. How was that challenge, Robert? How was that challenge when a kid gets cut?
You know, I think I was more disappointed than he was, and that's and I'm going to admit that. Yeah. And I think he was relieved, to be honest with you. I know he was. But, you know, we sort of had a rule in our house, and I don't want to be the hard thumb here, that you got to play a sport in school. You just got to do it. There's so many life lessons and valuable things that come with playing a sport, and you'll understand it as you get older. The very next day, there were tryouts for lacrosse. He jumped on the field and never even held a lacrosse stick, never even been on a lacrosse field, and he's still playing it now as a senior. And that was in ninth grade. So, you know, things happen for a reason. He was there. You know, he was willing to try it and, you know, had a great attitude about it, sort of like your son. And by the way, in baseball, your son is going to be much better for that because he'll get his shot. Somebody will get hurt. There'll be an opportunity. He'll have the winning run. Something's going to happen there. I guarantee it. Something will happen. That's great.
Well, I hope I'm in town, Rob.
I get that. I don't feel responsible, man. I get about 100 kids a year that come on through.
No, I get
14, 13.
There were a lot of kids who didn't touch the field yesterday. I know.
Yeah, absolutely right. But I'll tell you, when I get off, this old guy sit back there after an inning, the first guy that I'm sitting next to, he's like a flipping adult. And we start talking, and he'll start telling me things in the game that if players have young kids, it's about teaching young kids. You can't just have two eyes from this guy who's been coaching for 40 years. It's great to have an 18-year-old's eyes seeing things that I didn't see. And he's alerted me, as a few others, to saying, hey, Danny, you could see his grip, curveball, fastball. He's constantly assisting us on how to win a game. Yesterday was a tie, which was brutal. But he's constantly assisting us.
I love that. I'm telling you.
Well, thank God you guys came back. We had the
lead. We were sick.
We left when you guys were down, and I was like, oh, my God, they look like they're dead in the water here. I don't know where they are in their lineup. But, you know, that kid, I was just like, there's no way. They got to get some more competitive at-bats here. That's what Nick said. He said, you guys – he said he really saw some good competitive at bats there in the end. Best ones of the year so far. He said.
In the beauty about baseball, there's another game today.
We can't wait.
The problem is we're facing a guy later that's going to be throwing 90. He's got a full ride at Texas Christian, TCU, and it'll be great. But Mark, you must have been proud yesterday in that game. You had a couple of Sherman Oaks guys that you had coached at Gorilla Camp.
You know, Denny, the kid that started for Loyola, I coached.
Yeah, I know. I talked to Nick, and I remember saying, Nick, you know, your dad had the Cohen kid, then Berenson goes in. I mean, there's about seven or eight players, Mark, that you influenced as a player when they were young. And I think the most influential time. I mean, the 18 and 10-year-olds, there's no different, just that there's facial hair now. There's still young kids out there, man. Mark, you had a big influence on those guys, my friend.
I appreciate it. It is a trip to see, you know, I know I've been around a long time now, and kids are on the mound that I was coaching when they were seven and stuff.
Hey, so, watching Mark coach a seven-year-old group. I remember one time we were sharing the cages out there. We had our high school guys, big dudes, and it's easier to coach a 17-year-old kid than it is a 7-year-old kid. because Mark, the patience you had, I remember stopping for a moment going, holy shit. You can blink that out, Rob. Sorry. But going, I couldn't do what you're doing, Mark. And you're throwing and he's missing and you're throwing and he's missing. Then he finally fouls one off. That's it.
He's trying to hit their back. He's trying to hit their back.
Yeah. Exactly right. And Mark, it's got to be, Mark, talk to me for a second. The challenge of driving in your hot rod, I'll give you that. So you got the nice car. But driving to a Sherman Oaks 7-year-old practice going, I got an hour and a half. And your role is to be a mentor to these kids to keep them coming back, like what Tony's doing in his acting classes. Not if Tony just sat around and was a great actor and didn't do shit to give anything back, I can imagine that wouldn't be beneficial to you, Tony. That wouldn't complete you. But Mark, you that's not easy to do, man, to wake up and go, oof.
Denny, you know, the biggest, I think it was like maybe the third year I started coaching Little League that I realized, you know, I'm going to get some of these kids better. Some of them I may not get better and, you know, whatever I do. But the most important thing for these kids to do is to love baseball and come back next year. That was the biggest goal. That's the goal every time I'm, you know, at camp and stuff, no matter what, is to get some enjoyment out of this and get them back, you know, and want them to play again. You know, whether they're, you know, you see potential in them or not.
You know. I remember being there last summer, two summers ago, and I'm the big coach at Notre Dame, and I'm walking around like, I know the game. And I said, come here to a 7-year-old. And he said no to me. He says, I play for Coach Mark. I went, okay, man, this ain't cool. This ain't cool. All right.
Daddy, let me tell you, Daddy uses our cages. He's there. We need him. We need him.
But I remember asking the kid, hey, man, go get me a hot dog. And I can't remember the kid's name. He says, I have to ask Coach Mark if it's okay. I said, tell Coach Mark it's for Denny. He said, I got to go ask him. I went, all right. It's so good. How often do you guys converse now? I know we're just about done here, though. And I know what's going on today, Tony. Let's go back to you. Let's go into the spotlight now. Yeah. What's going on with you today, Tony? By the way, those kids that you work with today, Tony, I was going to bring this up. I have so many questions. I get so damn nervous, man. Jesus, but I'm going to go with this one. Do they even know about Taxi or who's the boss? Do the kids even know some of that stuff?
You know, when I went and taught school, they didn't know because 10th How grade, funny. Really, who's this guy? So they find out. But I think that's the same thing with this thing. They find out. But now, because we're our own, we were with the Police Athletic League for 8 years.
Yeah.
2 years before that, the Stars of Tomorrow, I mean, the... All-Stars. Now we are the Stars of Tomorrow Project. It's our own 501c3. So we're on our own now. So it's very exciting and also daunting. But, you know, I have this incredible benefactor, my friend, Mr. Danny DeVito. He's just a big supporter and just, you know, one of the great guys of all time.
Got the team you guys had on from Taxi.
And that we're still together, awesome. Dan. We're still together. We do a Zoom every month, the whole bunch of us, and Jim Brooks and Ed Weinberger and Jimmy Burrows. So there's like 9 of us on there, you know, for a couple of hours every Sunday. And they're all over the world, these people. And you Zoom in from everywhere. It's hysterical. Yeah.
God dang it, man. That's beautiful. With Nick, what's Nick going to do next year, Mark? What do you tell your son? What Nick to do? What does a father-son talk about? High school baseball player. What's his plans next year?
You know, he says he's pretty much done with baseball after this year. He wants to go into sports management, I believe business management.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants to go to a big school, and I'm excited. I think he's thinking either Kansas or Kentucky right now.
Or Rutgers. I'm still hoping for Rutgers. It was so close.
I'm gonna tell you something you're not gonna like.
I'm not gonna like that.
he told me this morning he's gotta give up Rutgers so somebody else you know, he has to unenroll, so somebody else has his spot.
Yeah.
So he.
Wow.
So much for that. But no, I'm not so worried about him. You know, I mean, he's very driven kid.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Whatever he decides, he wants to go into wherever big school he gets to, I'll be supportive and, you know, be absolutely.
Hey, man. Thrilled. You know, Mark, I'm a firm believer in this game of baseball. The being on the field stuff, but it opens up a lot of opportunities to do other things. And, you know, there's probably more money in management steadiness in management or part of it than there is in the game. Go ahead, Tony.
And then it goes back to him sitting next to you talking about what's going on. So he's very knowledgeable. Every time I make a bet, I go.
He said he saw you the other night. He saw you perform the other night. And,
yeah, we were at the Catalina Jazz Club on the Sunset Boulevard. And
what were you doing there, Tony? What were you performing there?
I sing, I dance, I'm a tap dancer, I tell stories and jokes, and I play the ukulele.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm, it's like I describe the show as one of those old TV variety shows where I'm the host and all the acts. that's basically what it is.
I got to tell you, though, someone said, hey, I had Tony Danza on my podcast, you know, the ukulele player, the tap dancer. They would say, it's got to be a different Tony Danza.
No, they wouldn't. Most people know it. Most people did.
And Tony, you can keep that show under budget, too. That's a good one to keep under budget. Yeah.
That's so good.
Four guys in a band and a ukulele.
Hey, man, I got to tell you, we just, you know, all we do is shoot the crap here. But it's important. I'm more into visuals, and to see you two on Zoom sitting right there, man, I could see a father and a son, the smiles. I could see the love that I'm telling you, it tears me up. And to know, to see Nick this afternoon, to stand next to your son today, man, and say, hey, here's what pisses me off about Nick. I'm going to make him run a lap today. I told Nick yesterday, hey, I'm getting your dad and your grandpa on. He says, man, I can't get out of class. What time's lunch? He said, lunch 11:30. I said, I wrote my number down in the middle of a 5-2 ball game. I wrote my number down. Call me and I want you to log on in and surprise these two. Obviously it didn't happen. So today when you see him running throughout the game, you're going to know.
How about two laps?
Two laps. Well, I'll get him. And you guys get him, and we'll make the guy pay for this.
He's right so here. Beautiful. It would have made for a better show.
The only thing I'm jealous, Tony, I was always jealous of you and Taxi. I'm old, and now I remain because I don't have any of that freaking hair that you got, man. It pisses me off. I'm glad you could still have it.
I don't want to mention the pandemic, but it obviously had a devastating effect on my hair color.
Hey, yeah, I wish I could say the same thing. They say I look like Stanley Tucci. I'm getting sick of that.
By the way, I swear, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw you on the screen. I saw holy back because yesterday you had your hat on.
Yeah.
But today, just the glasses, I'm like, holy mackerel. Holy mackerel.
No. Can't someone today say I look like Tony Flippin' Danza? I'd like to go with that. That'll never happen.
You got to get a wig. You got to get a wig, Dan.
Jealous of the hair and jealous of your son, he helped out with us on his strength and conditioning. Mark, you do a hell of a job, boy, in that area. I'm telling you, one of the best out there. You've spent many time with our players, volunteering your time to get our guys bigger, stronger, and faster. And again, the humility and the humbleness that you both have, I could see it. But if we have a pretty good following in this podcast, I don't know why. We're very grateful, and to have you two on today. I cannot thank you guys enough for taking the time to be in
this. We had a good time, Denny. Thanks for having us. Rob, thank you.
Hi, this is Denny Barrett, founder and head coach at Batters, which stands for Baseball Advanced Training and Recruiting Services. Batters is a full-service baseball school that is dedicated to building complete student athletes. We provide the best instruction at top facilities in order to mentally and physically prepare our players for success at the high school level and beyond. Click on BattersSoCal.com. That's BATRS SoCal.com for details and sign up today. In addition, we also hold open tryouts for top local players who are interested in joining a Batters team. Our travel ball teams typically practice 2 times per week and play doubleheaders every other Sunday, in addition to entering local tournaments or out-of-state tournaments on off weekends 2 or 3 times per season. If you have a player or team who is interested in joining Batters, please email me at battersocal@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks.